Blog Talk Radio.
Has caused the earth to produce.
in its cycle, in its time, in its time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, saints. We're going in a journey through the 18 principles of spiritual growth in the Green Letters by Miles J. Stanford. These are basic principles pertaining to Christian spiritual exercises. These principles are stated in such a way that becomes practical to us and rewarding. And as we have studied and read in other products and written issues from the gifted and anointing men and women of God, the spiritual discipline book, and the shepherds look at the 23rd Psalm, they said to look at the fruit of the Spirit as we look at the abide in Christ, all leading us to a place now where we're doing application to the Word. And this author, Miles Stanford, is giving us the framework to actually allow the Lord to develop all of the information that we've read and we've discussed and we've received through the Holy Spirit. And this becomes our practicum. This becomes the time that we actually put it into practice in a structured way. We obviously are to live daily with these truths guiding and directing our thoughts and our actions and our footsteps. And so the Green Letters is just another tool that I believe Holy Spirit is using to bring us to spiritual maturity. These are basic principles, and so they become fun to look at because they're not like we didn't know them before. We've seen them, we've read them, we know the verses, we've memorized a lot of the verses. And so it just becomes a time where we are now giving a God's eye view of the practical applications of these principles in our life. I would like to share with you something this morning that I felt was very appropriate for where we are. And as we run across different writings and inspirational things, you know, we do from time to time want to share them with you. This is trials. And again, we are want to hear everything and filter it through the studying that we've done, the reading that we've done, the books that we've listened to or read. Trial. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. You can consider something a joyful opportunity even when you are feeling quite joyless. Some definitions of consider are to think about seriously, to regard as, or to believe after deliberation. You may need to ponder your circumstances at length before you can view them in a positive light. You need to give yourself time for your feelings to settle down. It's hard to think clearly with high levels of emotion surging through our brain. Once you have calmed down, you will be able to think seriously about your situation. Invite Christ into this deliberation, and his presence will improve your perspective, helping you to see your trials in the light of eternity. As you look at your circumstances from his perspective, you come to understand that these multiple problems are testing your faith. This is both an opportunity to strengthen your faith and a temptation to let your feelings trump your faith. One of the toughest things about trials is the uncertainty about how long they will last. Usually, the unpleasant circumstance, you just have to live with them indefinitely. At times, you may feel as if you can endure no more, but you can always reach out to God for help. As you cling to Him moment by moment, I encourage you to persevere. This produces in us not only endurance, but also a harvest of righteousness and peace. And coming from the scripture, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." And then he says, "No discipline may seem pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and a peace for those who have endured." And so as we hear the author's presentation of trials, we see how well that fits into where we are in today's session. We looked at faith last week, and we realized that of the obstacles or some of the facts about faith included us having to trust, having a confidence and an assurance, and then trusting in what, why, and who. And we learned that it's the names of God and in the name and the power of God that our faith has to be based solely on the facts. That's confidence. It's based solely on the facts. Assurance. This is actually, we cannot trust anyone further than we know them. So we must not only learn the involved, but we must also learn the one who presents and upholds the facts. We are not to be influenced by probabilities, expressions, presumptions, and that one of the TV shows used to say, just the facts, Daniel, just the facts. And that's what our faith has to be based on, just the facts. We are to examine ourselves, and this is coming from 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. One moment, please. Okay. And so as we look at and even listen to the presentation earlier this morning, we realize that this faith and trust that we have has to be initiated or has to be built from an association, as the author has said, with the one that makes the promises, presents the facts, and are able to fulfill them and uphold them. And so we have to learn that what spiritual facts form the foundation of what we stand on, because that then becomes what we have faith in. It says that the author presents the fact that these scriptural facts, by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we have to know the word, and we have to know God. We have to become intimately involved in our relationship with Him so that we can be in a place to for Him to reveal His will and His way to us. We learned that in abiding in Christ, how obedience brought us to that place. Obedience brings us to a close place of relationship, and in that place, as I had, after being obedient, we are uncovering the facts and the evidence that these facts will stand. And so we get a confidence in the Word of God and what God says and what God is desiring for us. And so as the piece shared earlier, and so we don't have to look at the circumstance, impressions or probabilities, or, you know, we need a God's eye view. And this relationship comes not instantaneously, but it actually has to be established over time. And so that brings us to today's offering, today's element, which is time. The concept that God is never in a hurry when it comes to developing us as his children, because he's not working in natural time. He's working through eternity. Many of the issues that were presented in abiding Christ dealt with time, our needing to understand its place and its function in this process. First, realizing that it is a process, and that's understanding the scriptural facts. So that becomes the evidence of things not seen. Evidence means facts. What are the facts of the things that we have not seen and we do not have a natural knowledge of? And those facts are the things that are put forth in the Word of God. And as he put them forth for us, he gives us a complete picture, definitely a complete picture of precisely how he intends to uphold it. And we realized that, we saw that time and time again as we went through Abiding Christ, as we went through the 23rd Psalm, the Shepherd's Look. It was all about what the Trinity does for and with and through us. And so time is the element that's used to develop God's process in our life. It is not instantaneous. It's not ever idle. I love it when the author shares that it's important to understand that when nothing is going on, it doesn't mean that we're backsliding, and it doesn't mean that we're necessarily stagnant, because as long as during these times of inactivity, even the times when you can't seem to pray or pray with the fire, or, you know, you don't have that passion that you had, you are still aware of the fact that God is present in your life, or feeling is he present, but we're still focusing on him and not ourselves. And as the Abide in Me, Abide in Christ shared, he's always, every moment by moment, that time, he has his hands on us, examining us and making sure there's nothing around to hurt us. So even in those times when it seems like things are being inactive and nothing is going on, that God himself is modifying the pace that we are growing and developing, and that there's always something being prepared and some path that we're walking through that may just mean to just obey, walk and obey. And as we walk in obedience, there may not be those great moments of the parting of the Red Sea, but there will be those powerful Victoria moments of coming a step closer in our intimacy with God, with every act of obedience, with every tilt of our spirit to hear what Holy Spirit is saying to us. When we incline our ear to him, there's times that we can read the word and they're just words on a page. And yet there are times we can read the word and we're so consumed by the principle behind them and the power in them that we have to digest it in a worshipful way. And so it may not always look the same. However, the time that exists and that element of time that we must allow ourselves to endure, or not even endure, but to enjoy, which is one of the things we say, enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because unless the time factor is acknowledged from the heart, there is always danger of turning to the false enticement of a shortcut by means of experiences or blessings, where some become enmeshed in feelings. And it's not about feelings, it's about facts. And so to keep our feelings in check, we have to always apply the facts of the scripture to our circumstances and our emotions. And that keeps our emotions under subjection to the word of God. And that becomes our fact, our faith. That becomes our trust moves. We're trusting in God. We're trusting in the spiritual facts that have been presented to us in the word of God. So then it becomes important, what spiritual facts do we know? What spiritual facts make up our base of thinking? What is our perspective of life? Is it impressions from society? Is it superstitions presumptions? We presume it's going to be like that, or we feel it's not. It doesn't look possible, and so as a result, we don't embrace it. We're looking at appearances are not to be taken into consideration when we allow our emotions to come forth. So what should be taken into consideration is the word of God. This comes from, as I said, from being obedient in our studying and our presenting ourselves as living sacrifices in the way things are going. Sometimes we wonder, you know, does God really love me? Those are words that come from impression, that comes from feeling, and we don't want the basis of our thinking to come from what we feel, but from the facts of the scripture of what God has presented, because that is the thing that will become the solid foundation. So we want to look at the element of time as one of the 18 principles of spiritual development. God uses even often the active nature and the cycles in nature to give us illustrations of the principles that are kingdom minded. And that is, the author uses the example of when God wants to make an oak tree, he takes considerably more time, 20 years, 100 years, but when he wants to make a squash, he only takes 6 months. And so because even in the time when a tree doesn't appear to be growing into an oak tree, there are different stages of development that are going on within the bark and the leaves and the roots and that sort of thing that you may not necessarily see, but the evidence of it comes from the resulting oak tree. And so as you read the chapter on time, what were some of the things that you got your attention? You're on the air. You can put your phones on. We have visitors. Praise the Lord. Good morning, Sister Myra.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm just going to be a good listener today.
Amen, amen. We just wanted to welcome you to our Friday Fellowship of Learners and just let you know the ease of participation. You can keep your phones on mute, and that way we don't hear the background noise like guys may be hearing from me today because, unfortunately, school is out, and so the little one is here. And then when you want to talk, you can just take your phone off mute. So good morning to everyone, and for those that had an opportunity to look at this lesson on time, what was your take? How did you connect it? And what was your name of God that you used to validate your scriptural fact? Hello. Hello, hello.
Good morning, Minister.
Anybody?
Paulette.
Good morning.
Good morning, Minister Paulette.
Elda?
I did not do
good
that
morning.
Part. But I did read it. And the part that you were talking about just now, that was what mostly stood out to me. And I read it a couple of times. I went back and reread it a couple of times. And it was interesting to me how when he talked about when God wants to make an oak, and you know, when he was talking about how God make us in the period of time of rapid growth, he said, the period of rapid growth when woody fiber is actually deposited between the bark and the trunk occupies but 4 to 6 weeks in May, June, and July. So it was interesting how he talks about how God makes us. And, you know, in his timing, sometimes we get ahead of ourselves and we feel that we're not growing, or we feel that we're not as mature in him as we think we should be in him, not realizing that it is him that is making us and not we ourselves. And then another point in here, I believe it was in this one, or it could have been in Faith, I'm not sure, was when, I just lost my thought. let's see if I can get my thought back. When he talked about the ripening of the fruit and he says that to taste of the grace, let me go back a sentence, they forget that it is not a present experience that ensures fruit until maturity, but a patient continuance in well-doing. To taste of the grace of God is one thing. To be established in it and manifested in character, habit, and regular life is another. And I believe somewhere in here he talked about when you go through different things, and I was reflecting over my own life as to how when you go through different things in your life, sometimes, you know, God uses those experiences to grow us up, or to mature us in Him. I can't find it, but and to mature our faith. Our faith is built up in Him, and I oftentimes think about when you go through something, how you come out of it, you know, is going to depend on, and this is my own thing, depend on your standing in Him. And I often tell people that I know that if it wasn't for God and me holding on to Him in the things that I've experienced, that I would have been in the mental institution. So, you know, I knew it wasn't me or people that was taking me through, but it was God's grace that was holding me together, because I know that under the pressure and under the experiences that I was going through, that I could have just lost my mind. So this chapter brings, you know, causes you to really think, in my opinion, and to examine yourself, to reflect on yourself, past and present.
Amen.
So that is what I got from this particular chapter.
And as you were speaking, you know, as we realize that the author shares the fact that when we are first converted, when we first at the cross, when we first get it, and
yes,
that passion that's there is we need to then start establishing our dependency on God, or else we'll think that it's us that's doing it. And one of the ways that we get to crucify the flesh and realize that we are depending on God, because we have to get to, I love it when the author says, you have to get to know yourself. You know, you have to know yourself, and that you have no strength. You have to learn and lean on the Lord. And one of the ways that it's done is, first of all, through the element of time. And as the Ecclesiastes says, there's a time for everything. And all of those things are necessary, and a lot of them are painful. It involves pain as well as joy, suffering as well as happiness, failure as well as success, inactivity as well as service, death as well as life. Temptation to do a shortcut is especially strong because we like to avoid those things. We think of them as unpleasant, but they are necessary to bring us to a place of total helplessness and total dependence on God. It's when we get to that place that we're able to see God more clearly, and as a result, we become more grounded in what he has promised, because we have experienced him moving in our life during these times of negative, of challenging circumstances, of trials. We've been tested. And through the test, there's a test of time. Time will tell, because, and that's why the scripture says, be not weary in well-doing. He's indicating, he's presenting to us scriptural facts that this is a process, and it will take time. It's the development of a perfecting relationship with him, and only he knows how to perfect us in our relationship to him. And so he does it through time. And again, he's not constrained by just the time that we have on earth, 50, 60, 20, or not 50, 60, you know, 80, 90 years, but he's functioning for eternity. And that's one of the words, names of God that I love, Ancient of Days. He's Ancient of Days. So he doesn't have to be in a hurry. I don't think of that name of God, when I get that picture of that name of God, it's not someone that's scurrying around trying to get something done, but it's someone that has a plan and has a purpose, has the power and the authority to unfold that plan at his own sovereign. And we have to get to a place where we can embrace that. We want it to be over, and then we're there. And it's like we're never there, because even after it's over, it then flows into another place that then must be purified, and we must be matured out of it. I enjoyed the fact that he shared how some people in their deliverance, they have this passionate excitement, and so they tell it all over the place, and yet it has not been tried nor tested. And often it becomes a stumbling block, and they don't. They stumble, and then they become devastated because they've had this wonderful aha moment where he's saying that it is not just the aha moments, but they have to be mixed with the ha moments where you're just sitting and you're living out your deliverance. You're living out your victory. And then that victory is tried as circumstances come and negative things come and temptations come. It's one of the things you shared. It's the time where this is God, when the temptations come, then when you stand against them knowing your dependency on God, and because it's not possible with man, but with God all things are possible, that you can stand and pass the test of time. And sometimes it's a test that we have to take over and over, or a test that we take in different levels and test from different perspectives, because in all things he's trying to give us a God's eye view of ourselves and of him and of his kingdom. And we can't have that God's eye view if in our mind we're seeing or perceiving or interpreting things with natural facts, with natural presentations of things. It has to be with the way he spiritually presents himself and the facts that he's given us that we have to then look at life. And so we can look at, as the author says, at a time of trials and testing, you know, emotionally we are all over the place, but we have to wait. And what we are waiting for is the process, the event, through a set of principles. And it's what set of principles are we going to use? He's saying use his principles. His principles will include the facts that he presented to us. All things will work out, work to the good for those that love the Lord. With God, all things are possible. This is knowing your faith, your spiritual facts. These are facts that he has promised to never leave you nor forsake you. He has promised that all your needs will be made. And so when we start standing on those spiritual facts, then those things will then calm our emotions. It will calm our feelings and direct them to praising and to worshiping God. And then as we do that, we draw closer to him. And the closer we are to him, the more we'll see things the way he does, because he will reveal them to us. And so then we get a God's eye view of this thing, and we'll realize that, you know, weeping may last, you know, at night, but joy is coming in the morning. I can see it from a God's eye point of view that something has to die in order for it to live. You know, I can see it from a God's eye point of view that it's a joy, counted a joy when I come into divers situations, because that means whatever is a part of me, he is going to prune, he's going to clip it so it doesn't hurt me eternally. He's showing us that I have a way that it doesn't seem good to you, but the end is eternal life. And the more you learn about the way that I work, the way that I see things, the more peace you have, and the more confidence you have, and the more assurance you have for the things that you can't see. And that becomes him building up our most holy faith, because then we trust it in what he has said. And so as the author shares, we won't have, I won't say a need for, we have a need for experiences and blessings, but they're not the foundation of our faith. They are actually the benefit of our faith, but in totality, they must be linked with scriptural facts that we have learned, that we have processed. That's one of the things abiding in Christ. We have learned of God. We have watched him, and then we allow him to transform us. And then when we do that, he increases our faith, because we become confident that the thing that he started, he will perfect, that he is the author of our faith, because it was him that invited us to come and abide in Christ. It was him that became the husbandman that was at his hand on the branch to bring a new to bring forth fruit, and this fruit comes through pain as well as joy. And then as this fruit comes, it looks like him, but it takes time for the fruit to mature. Anybody that ever had a banana that was not rich, it was not ripe, or any kind of fruit, if you ever had it, when it wasn't ripe, it may look good, but it does not fulfill its purpose because it falls short, because it didn't have time to develop all of the flavors, all of the nutrients that it needed. It didn't have time. Time was not taken. I love it. The storm has to come. It has to make it through the storm as well as the blessing. And so the fruit, as it hangs on the tree, it has to go through the sunshine. It also has to go through the storm. It has to develop through all of the environments around it for it to develop, because that's the way God made its cycle, its process to be. And so we understand, because he created all things, then he best knows how to bring all things to perfection, all things to maturity, all things back to its intended purpose. Even though we have strayed, he has made a commitment to us to bring us back into that fellowship with him. It says all growth is progressive. The finer the organism, the longer the process. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We're not a squash. We are in more of an oak tree. We have more of a purpose and a time existence. And because of it, the process is going to take longer. It says it is from measure to measure, 20-fold, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. It is from stage to stage, first the blade, then the ear, and after that, the full corn. And that's how we are. It's first one thing. These are days of great victories in battle. They're days of horrific failures. But even in those days of failures, we are comforted to learn another name of God, another aspect of his love for us and his presence in our life, because, again, we have to remember he is preparing us for eternity. He is perfecting us to live with him the way he had initially and created us to do. One of the things the author puts forth is that we can't really exercise to make our faith strong. God gives us faith. He joys in in giving us a measure of faith. And as we trust him and as we obey him, that faith becomes us. We have to think of it not as something that even that we can lose, because he gives it to us. It is ours, and this is why a shortcut for those things will absolutely not work. It is a gradual process. He presents to us a lot of the scriptural leaders and how they had to develop. Even Christ himself, he wasn't going from birth to ministry. Moses. Paul, all of the patriarchs, Samuel, when we look throughout Scripture, there were preparation time, there was time involved in their growth and development before they were able to then properly, and we have to remember, too, that part of this is what we do, properly respond and care for the souls of others. Immature where we're really, instead of blessing someone else that we should be ministering to, we become shipwrecked ourselves. I love part of the process of the retreat, you know, this healing time, this year of healing, a time of maturing for the leaders that are going to serve so that when it's time to be empty vessels, to be vessels that God can use, time will have tried our victory and our deliverance from the first 15 years of the retreat, the first 15 years of those things that were established in us. And so time has proven, and everybody I'm sure will say, how this time has been filled with trials and challenges. And it's how we navigate through them, through the Word of God, through the presence of God, through our dependence on God, that purifies us and prepares us to be able to minister to people. And so we've had a year or two of getting this type of preparation of time, allowing time to bring us to a place of maturity so that we can go forth in this season and generation of need that the world will have as we go through the 2018 Sexual and Relational Healing Retreat. One of the things that the author said that, you know, we always look for God, we pray, and, you know, we want him to come through and end this issue, this crisis, and, you know, come through as our champion, and, you know, and it's like, oh, okay, what are you waiting? Hello, Lord, we're calling. And we think he isn't coming, but he is working. And he just doesn't look like we want it to look, but he is working. And it's no different from the disciples. They had that same desire when they realized that Christ had come, and they felt, oh, he's coming to deliver us from the Romans. He's going to come through like a champion, and he's going to make everything all right. But what he did, he came through as a servant and taught them how to obey and to suffer so that eternity is transformed for a lot of people. Because of their preparation through Christ, then we have the Gospels. We have the epistles. We have the letters. We have the Word of God because they chose, they allowed the Lord to, through time, to affect, to perfect them. Okay, so anybody else have a part that spoke to you? Yes, good morning, Elder.
Yes, as you were talking and as I was reading this, right at the very beginning in the printing that I have, where it talks about that God can set us down, so to speak, so that our self-confidence may die down. And that's where it goes on to say that, you know, Moses 40 years and Paul 3 years, those kinds of things, that we have to know ourselves and know that we're not moving in our own strength, so that we can learn to lean on the Lord and then be in a position where we are mature, and then we can deal with folks from what the Scripture says as opposed to what we feel. And then when it goes on and it talks about settling it and understanding that there are no shortcuts, and it uses the example of the meteor versus the star. That the meteor would burn out, but the star is a steady light that can be used, and navigators can use that as a focal point to be able to
steer or, you know, navigate or whatever, chart their course. And the author goes on to say that unless the time factor is acknowledged from the heart, there is always danger of turning to the false enticement of a shortcut via the means of experiences and blessings, so that it seems to me that it seems like so that we don't get out of line or out of pocket, that even when we have an experience with the Holy Spirit or blessings by the Holy Spirit, that we understand that is just, I don't want to say a moment in time, but that doesn't mean that we have achieved, that we have acquired all that we are looking for, because it goes on to say that the danger of turning to those false enticements of a shortcut by the means or via the means of experiences and blessings, where one becomes pathetically enmeshed, which I thought was a very strong language, but pathetically enmeshed in the vortex of ever-changing feelings. But that is so true. Our feelings do change based on the situation.
Yeah.
Adrift from the moorings of scriptural facts, because we are quick to say, you know, I did this because I felt it, so you don't know how I felt. You don't know what happened. And when we basically should be lifting up the word of the scripture, saying regardless of how we feel, regardless of what individual experiences, what does the word say about how we're supposed to be conducting ourselves, what our response is supposed to be in this situation. So, you know, when we go back and we look at the fruits of the Spirit, we know what those things are. We know what our responses should be. But many times those things don't line up because we're in that vortex of our feelings. And we feel that we're justified because we've had some type of great experience with the Lord. We've had some type of revelatory encounter or something like that. And we think like, okay, yeah, we're there. Because you don't know what God did for me last night. You know, that he takes us to places and he gives us glimpses. I think the author says, taste of his grace. Excuse me. And sometimes we can be lulled into, that's it. That's the peak. You know, but because it is measure by measure, precept by precept, that we can go from glory to glory. So when you talk about what name, I think of the name of the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And a lot of times there are dramatic beginnings when we totally surrender ourselves. But then when the trials of life and, you know, the tangles of our own circumstances and our own hand sometimes come to be, we get frustrated. You know, and I think instead of thinking that, hey, we're moving against, we're not, as the author says, acquiescing to God's development plan, we think that something else has happened, that maybe it's the other person, you know, because I know that I'm where I need to be, because, you know, let me tell you the experience I had, how God visited me, when it may be a situation where we might need to hold our tongue, we might need to sit and just be still, go through a season of what may seem like deadness or really quietness in the spirit, you know, where God is just testing us or really maturing us. You know, it could be a test, and it could just be the maturing, but, one in both, you know, that we would actually wait on his hand and on his timing to move us forward, you know. It's the husband's man method for true spiritual growth, you know, and that it's going to be, and I think Elder Roberta read that it would be pain as well as joy, suffering and happiness, you know, failure and success, inactivity and service. And sometimes when that least desirable comes, when that failure comes, when that suffering comes, when that inactivity comes, when that pain comes, we think that it's not God, and we don't want to stay, you know, on the path. But, you know, we need to know he sees developing us for eternity, and we need to be that steady star instead of that, you know, flashing media just in the moment.
Amen. Amen. I think too, as you were sharing, you know, I realized that a lot of some of the frustration of new believers that and those that, not just new believers, but those that have received victories and overcome some things, and we have such a desire to shout it from the rooftop and to, you know, but I was reminded of in many instances in Scripture when Christ did that, he told them to go and don't tell anybody, because it is a time of testing that needs to happen where we understand that the confidence that we have in what has happened is truly rooted in God and not in the emotions and the blessing of the situation and the experience. And so one of the hardest things is to be still and know that he is God. You know, in the midst of our huge victories, not that we don't tell them, but we have to be very careful that we stay in line with Holy Spirit. And so often people are wounded during these times, and these victories become horrible, disappointing failures because they didn't wait for the cure, if you will. How some things you can make it and nothing else has to happen, like with alcohol and different things, but you can't drink it then. You got to let it sit. You know, you got to let the flavors and the seasonings and things to marry with one another. And that's what happens with us spiritually. You know, as we receive these victories, it's awesome. But there is a proving period that has to take place. Is what happened with Paul. As powerful of an experience as he had, he could not go out from that experience to ministry. He was over 10 years being proved, and God always working. That the author shares at the end, when the children of Israel were going into the promised land, the land was truly theirs. It was theirs, and that's the end of that. And God was going to clear it out. But he said only a little at a time so that the enemy won't come and overrun the land, or wild animals won't come and take up promise. And so he cleared them out of the enemy. I'm sorry, the enemy he cleared out, but he did. He gave them the land bit by bit, so that it was always inhabited in a way where the enemy of the animals, wild animals, didn't come and overrun it. And that's kind of what our emotions are like, wild animals, if they're not contained, which is a part of what happens when we abide in Christ. We start producing, he starts to produce the fruit of the Spirit, one being self-control, temperance, because it's a time a process. It's a time product, a thing that is a product of time and wisdom. And then we understand, we get that, again, that assurance and faith is the evidence of things not seen. And so, but we get that confidence that it's there because we then are exposed to the wisdom of God. In our process, we see his wisdom, and that's how we become confident. He really does know what he's doing. He really will bring this to pass, as he has said, and in a way like, oh, I didn't even think of that. No, most of the stuff we would not think of, because he says his thoughts are higher than ours. And so he needs us to learn that truth. This woman in the Bible of Christ, it says to look and to learn, and then allow that truth to become foundational in our thinking, so that as we go forth, that's one of the things that whatever word comes, whatever action comes, whatever situation or crisis comes, it has to go through that set of principles and of thinking, which are the facts of God. And so I enjoyed this time chapter because it's so often it's not the thing that we honor, and yet he talks about it throughout Scripture, and even the everybody has heard the Ecclesiastes, there is a time for, and you know, breaking down and building up. And yet the minute something starts to be torn down, we think of it as negative, and oh my God, we want to pray against it, and we want to pray for revival, we want to pray for this, pray that. And it's like, but this is the time that that needs to happen. And then, you know, praise God that he is the author of time, because he is the Ancient of Days. And there isn't a thing that happens outside of his control, authority in time. And so it is something that perhaps we need to, just as a closure to this chapter, look up the Ecclesiastes scripture and read it, the scripture on time, because I think it will help focus us on a God's eye view of things, that there are, as the author said, it involves this process of true spiritual growth and development. It involves pain. It involved it for Job. It involved it, my God, for Christ. It involved it for the disciples. It involves pain. It involved it for Hannah. You know, there was pain in the wanting and in her emotions of wanting a child, and just the different ones. And Sarah, there is pain, but there is joy. There is suffering as well as happiness, failures as well as successes, inactivity as well as service, and death as well as life. And so we don't want a shortcut where we eliminate all the negative, because then we won't get a dependency on God. We won't know what God can do if we don't have need of him to do anything. We will then think it is in and of ourselves, or that we got it like that, and we have it like that in Christ, which is why he says, outside of me you'll wither up and die, because you can do no thing. So I thank everybody for joining us on Blog Talk this morning. Any more comments? Inside.
Oh yeah, over here. Yes, I just had a my name of God for this one on time was Isaiah 33:6, and it was a sure foundation, and it says he will be the sure foundation for your time, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge, and the fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. And that, to me, was also the part where we're talking about trying to work for him and begin allowing him to do the work. So that was something that I'm learning day by day, to not try to work for him, and then to get to know ourselves and that we have no strength in him. And someone texted me today and said, be strong in the Lord. And when I read that about we can't do it in our strength. We have to do it in God's strength alone. So those were just a few pointers. That's it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. I think it's so important when we look for that name of God in it. I know for me this week for time, it was that he's a lifter up of our head. And so that gives, for me, that name of God gives me a relationship with his power, the power of his suffering, the power of his resurrection. I need to know it and to have the confidence that he will lift my head in these negative times, in these trials, in these challenges, in these crises. He is the lifter up of my head. It's not the, you know, what I can figure out or what money can do or what people can do or what doctors can do or, you know, what the bank can do. What our children can do. It's not what anybody can do. It's he will lift my head up. And I don't have to have it bowed down in mourning and in sorrow. But in worship and in praise, he will lead the lifter up of my head. And I think of that as someone who is downcast. And if you ever, you know, your children or someone, and you just put your hand on their chin and you lift them up, you lift their heads up where they look and they see you, and then they're comforted. And that's what I that was the name of God that blessed me for this particular. So I do. I encourage you guys to get your name of God and journal it, so we can see the path that He leads us from, or leads us to Him. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
One last comment over here.
Sure.
I just want to say that when, you know, in looking at, since we've been kind of parlaying this with the fruit of the Spirit, that as you've been talking about, you know, our responsibility in this and being patient with the time, when we look at those nine gifts in that last tier, the three that refer to us are faithfulness, humility or meekness, depending on how your Bible lists it, and self-control or temperance, that those are the characteristics that people are supposed to see as we go through whatever it is, as we go through our life, as we go through our life's experience, that regardless of whatever it is, that those are the things that should be, that should characterize what our behaviors look like. And I think as we kind of just keep that in mind almost as a template, you know, with that fruit of the Spirit, because we spend so much time on it, to me, it always seems like an anchoring point. You know, that we know that the initial three are in relationship to us and God, that love, joy, peace. But those middle three are to others, you know, the long suffering. And I think when we talk about this whole time element and how long things take, and when he talks about the meteoric rise, that sometimes we feel when God does something, you know, incredible with us, through us, you know, that it becomes hard to tolerate when maybe those around us or those that we love or whatever the case may be don't seem to be moving at the same pace, so that not only that patience / long-suffering, but also the kindness and goodness that should be sent in their direction, tethered with our faithfulness to ourselves and being humble, or the humility that we should also be exemplifying. That, you know, that, like I said, if we use it kind of as a template and as a guide of where we are on those three levels, you know, what's going on with our relationship with Him, what's going on with our relationship with others, as well as what's going on with how we're handling ourselves, to be a good place to outline some of the things when we see that our stuff has kind of gotten out of whack. I think the author says, you know, are we acquiescing? You know, are we submitting ourselves? Are we allowing, you know, God's development plan to work, you know, through us? I just thought about that when you were saying that, you know, that whole fruit of the Spirit, it seems like it's imprinted on my brain. We read it so long. But it's a good overlay for what's going on. It gives us a good place to start to track where we are based on what God says He needs from us, where we need to be.
Absolutely. And you know what? I believe that what we studied is foundational for where we are now as well, because not only with the fruit of the Spirit, because as you were speaking, you know, that examination of that fruit expression, excuse me, has to happen through the soil. So when we see that something isn't developed as it should be, then we have to then go back and look at the soil. And as the author presented the different aspects of the soil and what was in it and what it represented, it gives us a point of reference as to where we need to start. That's, I think, Holy Spirit's way of showing us it's a issue of opinion, or issue of our work, or our you know, being too busy, or being having been imprinted, you know, by the wrong thing. But the conditions, the different conditions of the soil were very pivotal to the production of the fruit. So if that fruit is lacking, or if we have I would say a dependency, but it's not a dependency. But
what, like a deficit?
A habit of wanting to avoid that particular fruit, then we need to see what is the soil that the seed of that fruit is in that it is not being able to thrive. You know, and so I do. Even the revealing the soil as well as in line with the fruit, you know, gives us. And then when we do that, I think we can go then even to the way Christ intended to meet that need or correct that that soil, and that's part of his next seven words. So it's just so much what we've done, you know, that once we layer it on top of layer it on top of layer, it produces a marvelous mountain of victory and path to victory, sustainable victory, I would say, that we can at the top, then we can shout it from the roof because we will have ascended to it through his direction of Holy Spirit. And so I encourage us to not, you know, just, I don't think we can ditch a book once we're done with it, because it lives in us, and just allow Holy Spirit to bring it to our remembrance and how it is the foundation for what we're doing now. Anybody else, any comments, insights? All right, so we want to make sure we keep him as the presence in the midst of our challenges and our trials, and that as we said, consider, that you can consider something a joyful opportunity, even when you are feeling quite joyless. Some definition of consider are to think about it seriously and to consider, and then to believe it after deliberation. Believe what? Believe the facts that were spiritually presented to us through the Word of God after we think about it. Let's believe it. That's why I had on at the cross, you know, this is what we believe. It becomes the foundation that everything has to go to get to us, that we need to ponder our circumstances at length, not quickly trying to just hurry up and do something, but just sit down before the Lord and meditate on the truth, on it. Let's not just pass from one time of in the presence of the Lord, you know, okay, let me do my reading. Okay, I got to go do this. But, you know, let it flow and give it time to sink in, to soak in, to reach where it needs to go. It says we need time to give ourselves time, you know, for our feelings to be addressed through the Lord. And so it needs time. Let's give him that time. Let's give him our reasonable sacrifice of our bodies, of our time, of our heart, and of our mind, and of our strength. And so we look to share again on next week. We're fast moving to the week of Thanksgiving, Advent. So I pray that you enjoy this holy season, this time of accelerated, if you will, fellowship with our families and friends and loved ones, and even people in the world. You know, I think every time it snows, and really snows, I think people's attitude changes. They become more patient, more tolerant, more helpful, more considerate of one another. And I just, the first snowfall always is a blessing to me. So you guys know that I am happy, happy, happy. And so be happy with me, as the ministry of one another encourages us to be. And so we do pray that it is not a hindrance for those that are more challenged. And so we do thank God for the first snowfall in 2000.
Overseer, you want us to be happy with you because it's snowing?
Yes, ma'am, I certainly do. Yes.
God bless you and your ministry. Your winter ministry. I'm like, is that what she's saying?
Yeah.
Yes, that's
okay.
What I'm saying.
Well, it's coming down in the city, I'll tell you. It's coming down.
Is it?
And yeah, twice as hard since we started this conversation. I'm like, oh, this is not going to be much, but it is. Has come down twice as hard during this call. So go back to sleep and maybe the Lord will let you dream about snowflakes.
Okie dokie. Well, I pray that it's not a hindrance to other people, but that we can really see the beauty of the Lord. I think it's such a powerful thing, the things that God has prepared for us. And snow is one of them because he said he tells the snow to fall. So when he does, he knows he's made Paulette very happy. So praise the Lord.
Me too.
All right, so stay warm. It'll melt a little later.
Enjoy it.
Okay.
Enjoy.
Oh,
God bless.
Believe it. Amen. Amen. All right, love you guys. Have a wonderful weekend.